And then started the family letters period. So we got all the news through the family letters. And we were not allowed to have any of these personal letters anymore. I think a few had special relationship with Bearer, Phyllis and Adele.
Right.
Started a special correspondence with Mehra. But I always wrote to Marnie. My relationship was directly because I had been so close to Marnie during that accident. We slept next door, and I'd got a very personal relationship there. So my letters were always directly written to Marnie. Besides that, Marnie was in charge of anything to do. If anything went wrong here, I'd write to Marnie. For instance, whenever we, anything to do with our association, it was called the Universal Spiritual League then, and we always informed Barbara of what was said, say, Mark, will you tell Barbara this, or if there was something we wanted an answer, I'd write it to Marnie, and she had charge of all that, you see. I think Arnie Senior had more India. I don't know, but my direct link was Marnie.
So when you went in 62, after 10 years, I mean, what was your impression that she, Mara, how did she look then? Or did,
after 52 to 62.
Right. And in 62, when you saw them, it must have been like after so many years.
Yes. Well, one saw that Mara had matured, but there was still that same, just as now.
Right.
I mean, there's still this, of course Mehra's aged. I know her, you know her age now. But there's still this beautiful bone structure.
Yes.
And there's still the same dignity. And of course, the difference now is that you can talk to Mehra more freely. Before, you had to be very careful what you said in the early days. You couldn't mention any of the disciples, the men, in front of her. But you see, now you can talk practically about anything to her.
Did you ever say anything to Mehra that you weren't supposed to say and Baba took you to task? Or someone else said, you know, you shouldn't have said that?
I think that probably did happen, that by chance one mentioned something one shouldn't have, and then you pulled yourself up, and then he would probably turn and kiss me or to cover it up or something like that.
Well, after 62, I mean, can you just talk a little bit about when you went in 1969 and what you saw then?
No. 62 was the East-West Gathering. Well, there, I mean, one just saw everything in mass.
Yeah.
None of us had private interviews with Barbara. The first thing, he called a few of us just before the general thing. I think Kitty, Margaret, Ivy Deuce, myself, and a few others were called. And then I think the men also special ones, of course. But it was all general. He had the sort of English group together, and then the Sufis. No one had anything private with Baba then. And during all the big gathering, you know, the times when we all got terribly wet because the thing leaked, and Baba sent us back. And they brought out all their clothes. And we had to put these on. And it was very funny. I can't remember what I put on. But I know Elizabeth found herself, I think, putting on a dress she didn't ages back.
That's right.
It was very funny. I always wondered what the meaning of that was.
Something.
You know, that a group of us changed clothes when it rained, but some didn't. You know, I don't quite know what it meant. And of course we went behind, and then I saw them to say goodbye. That was 62. Then the next town I saw them was in Tumont.
I mean, can you describe a little bit about Maren's?
Oh, well, that was the most fantastic thing that ever happened. The night, do you want me to tell you what really happened? That night, I had very strange dreams. I was terribly restless. And I had a dream in which Barbara said, you're not Delia anymore. You're Layla. And I think it was about 5:30 or 6, the phone rang, and Ardie told me these news, and I thought he was joking. I said, it can't be, it's impossible. And he said, I wish it were a joke. And then I broke down. And he said, will you? He said, I can't. I've had this call from Ardie Senior. And he said, will you inform everyone? So I phoned up Don Stevens at the time. And we had a meeting arranged for that day at Wardour Street, which was Peter's studio that he'd given us to use, to arrange for all of us to go to India. And I then phoned other people. I phoned, I think, Molly Eve and Hilda Holborn. I can't remember who else. Then I dressed myself and I went round to Ardie's, and he told me that he was waiting on a call to go. And I went up to Wardour Street and Don was there, one or two, and we told these young people. And then I came home and I thought, I wonder, what's the good of my going? Ardie phoned me and he said, I'm trying to get hold of Don Stevens. I want him to fly with me to India. Marnie has said that I'm to go now, that they're keeping the body. Because, you know, it was to be just a few days after. And he said, I can't get hold of him. And he said, gave me his flight number. And I couldn't get hold of Don. And then I spoke to Hilda Holborn, and I said, I wonder if I should go. Ardie shouldn't go alone. Luckily, I had no money, it was a Sunday, but I had my passport ready, and I'd had my injections. And Ardie had given me the number, and I said, well, how can I go? It's Sunday. And Alan Ewell came up in the car with Hilda Holborn's daughter Maria and took me to the airport. And Ardie, we paged Ardie, and he said, I will transfer from Air India to BOAC if they can get, at this time, this proper connection, but they couldn't. And BOAC would have taken my check. Air India refused to take the check. So I said, well, I can't do any more. Ardie then goes, and Franey said, I'll have one more try, Delia. And she went and she said, look, my brother works for Air India. We will guarantee this check. So he came, he said, look, if your husband will sign a thing that this lady's check is all right, we let her go. So I produced the check. Luckily, I had sold some shares and had the money in the bank. And I gave this check. And the thing was, I said, hold the plane. And Ardie was so astonished. They were just going off. He got everything. I had a little suitcase like that I'd taken in case. I had one of each thing. That's all. A little thing like that. That's all. And Maria Holton lent me £11. And I bundled through myself into the thing. I said, I didn't tell any of my family. They didn't know I'd gone. I said, just your lady below, tell them I've gone to India. And we went via Russia. And when we got down, what was the stop? Anyway, I fell on the ice. It was icy there. I fell on the ice and injured my thigh. And by the time I arrived in India, I was black and blue. Then when we arrived in Bombay, there was some mix-up and there was no car to take us to Pune. Donkin was to meet us at Pune. Anyway, Arnie eventually got a ramshackle taxi. And we got there. When we got to Pune, Donkin said, "You're not the first arrival. Don Stevens is here." So that was what had happened. Don hadn't let us know and had gone in advance. Nobody knew in India I was arriving. And when I got, they'd all gone home. By the time we got to the hill, they'd all gone, and Sarosh was there with a few of the men, and Erich took us into the tomb. I said, "Sarosh, what am I going to do? I've got no money." And he said, "You come with me." And he took me home, took me to his place, and I stayed there for the week, you see. But now the thing was that apparently I heard later that Baba had said to Margaret, "Delia would be with me at the end. I'm a terrible plane traveller. I don't know how I went or what made me go. And I went within 3 hours, and it was touch and go even then. And I was the only woman from the West." Which was it. So someone had to be there to represent the women of the West.
Besides Rana.
You see?
Besides Rana.
Oh, yes, because Rana was already there, living there.
Yeah, right, I know.
And I think someone had to come from here, because so many, after I arrived, then Dr. Kenmore came, then three Sufis.
Yeah,
no, not three Sufis.
Alan
Cohen.
Rick Chapman.
Yes, Rick Chapman, but the other one, one of the preceptors.
Ludd didn't.
No, Ludd didn't come. The other one.
Anis Hassan,
Alan Cohen, and Rick came together. And at the very last day, the Luck brothers arrived.
But let me just ask you this, dear. You spent the night at Sarosha's.
Hmm?
You spent that night at Sarosha's.
I spent the whole week with Sarosha's.
The next morning you went to Maribod. That must have been the first time you
yes.
saw
her. And I don't know that they'd heard by then that I had come, because Adi then went to Meherazad, and he was with the men, and Marnie had seen him. And then I went, yes. And then they were all in the hut, sitting, you know, where Baba's the bed was. And then I went in, yes.
Now, Baba's body, of course, was in the tomb.
Oh, yes, then. Yes. But I'd been in the tomb
right.
the night
and
before
you saw
with
them
Erich.
In that little hut.
Yes.
And
yes. Oh, well, then, I mean, Mehra was devastated. And so was I. They were all singing two songs, hymns and things Baba liked. And then they sang Begin the Begin. And I couldn't make it out. I didn't realize then it was Baba's favorite song.
The women mandolin?
They would sing, yes, we all sang. We sang all the time.
Yeah.
Begin the Begin. And then I heard Baba's request to Erich that it was to be played.
But, I mean, when you went inside, you saw Mary and everything, did you greet her?
Oh, yes, of course.
And you just,
oh,
you
yes,
were
yes.
just weeping, that's
oh,
cool.
Yes.
She was weeping, of course.
Yes.
What
and
did she say?
I was with them every day, you see. I'd go back and then come, and I was always with them. And every time Mehra and Marnie went with the women with these basket of rose petals, I went with them. And then I was on the final thing when we women paid her. Well, you see it in
yeah,
the film, Delia.
Right.
That came just after. We each went in and, you know, and did our final thing. And then we women stood at the back while the men covered it up.
But do you remember, like, what Mara said to you when she first...
The who?
What Mara said to you when she first saw you. What was she saying?
No, I can't remember. We were just so overcome, we didn't say anything. But I remember her saying to most people... what were the words she used? I can't... It'll come to me in a minute. You know about Baba being with... Baba's with them. But she was marvellous, the way everybody was greeted as they came in. And the people were coming in the same state as I was, from all over. And we found that half of them had left all their clothes, half of their clothes behind. I literally had just a nightgown, the slack, a pair of slacks, and two dresses. And that's all I had. Vilu, on one occasion, let me a sari. She put a sari on me. And, Seroche was marvelous. She was so kind.
When Mara would go inside the tomb where Baba's body was, what would happen?
Oh, well, each time she broke down. Well, you can see in the film of the entombment. That's exactly as she was. But she did keep up to greet everybody.
When she was in the tomb with Baba, wouldn't she be sort of talking to Baba and saying, you know, why did you leave me and what am I to do now or something?
I don't remember the exact words she said at the moment, but it was... But I was very glad I went.
Yeah.
I think they expected some people from the West to go. And I think they would have been very hurt, in a way, if someone hadn't gone. And the only one really that could make it was myself, because in America they would all have had to have visas. And another thing, no one realized that the body was going to be kept so long. But each day they postponed it, because it was incredible when you looked into the tomb, the face appeared different each time. Sometimes it looked very filled out, and other times, and the eyes suddenly looked almost open at times. It was incredible. But, I mean, it was marvelous, a person like Harry Kenmore flying over.
Well, did you stay much after the body was covered, or did you leave immediately?
I stayed exactly the week. I came back with... Don came back before, and I don't know about the others. I left with Harry Kenmore. And funnily enough, we found out our birthdays was the day after we left, the 10th of February. Harry Kenmore's birthday was the same as mine. And we travelled together. Then I got off in England, and of course he went on. Well, I think I've done enough.
Yeah, let me just... What? Look this over, and I just have one or two. You know, in that you said the Majestic Hotel in 1933. Were you there in that? Were you in Bombay? Where you first met Mara, I think, or Condivli?
Wait a minute, we didn't stay at a hotel.
No, was this in Condivli?
Who said we stayed at?
No, I'm just asking. Was it with Kitty? You were with Kitty then.
When we first went, yes. The first group that went out was Kitty, Margaret, Delia, Mabel, my sister Minta, and a dancer called Audrey.
But that was the time you got into saris?
No.
And Condivli?
That was that was 37. That was at Nasik.
I see.
Noreen and Elizabeth, and a protege of Norina's called Vivian Giessen Oreo. She was a dancer. And she was a substitute, I think, for Kim, Barbara said. Quentin Todd was with us.
You know, some people told me, like, at Marisad, when, for example, Mara would just go out of the room for a minute, and Baba would sort of, after a while, you know, ask where's Mara or something, always be concerned about her. I mean, do you remember one little thing like that, sort of, that you saw, that some little kindness that Baba would do that showed you sort of how much Baba loved Mara? Any little time that you remember being with her?
I don't think it was any particular thing. But he made it very clear, and he said so. And then, of course, she always sat next to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or do you remember seeing any little thing that Mara did once for Bob or something that showed you sort of, oh, you know, how much care she takes for Bob or how much she loves Bob? Something that impressed you sort of about her love and obedience to Bob?
I think just the way she looked at him. You know, she was always there ready, as if the only thing in the life was being there on the spot when Barbara needed her.
You mean even if he wasn't in the room, she'd be waiting for him to come to her? I mean, what do you mean, the way she looked at him?
Yes, I think so. I mean, that was her first thought.
Or she wasn't occupied with anything else, but only.
Oh well, I think so. I think. I mean, she in the East, she always washed Barbara's hair, and brushed it, and saw to his clothes. In the West, Cutler saw to his clothes. When you were in America, is this on? Push it off. Right.
I mean, if there was, yeah, I was just going to say that the reason I started doing it was that sort of how I started doing this was a little bit that whenever we would listen to stories of Mara, whenever she would talk about Baba,
yes.
I mean, it was so obvious, like her love for Baba was so inspiring and everything like that. I mean, I don't know if you could just say a little something at the close here about, I mean, you must have felt that too, of course, back then, that how much she really did love Baba. And,
how much who did
Mara?
Yeah,
I mean.
Well, I don't think there was any question about
right.
it. I mean, you know, I think of, in her special way, it was a special love, completely selfless. I don't think one can compare, but it was this role that her destiny had given her, and she was perfectly fitted for it.
You know,
it had to be somebody really beautiful, I think. What felt that?
I mean, naturally, living with everybody and closely in the ashram and everything like that. I mean, the other women have said, you know, like, at times, you know, they would feel this jealousy.
Well, I think that was natural.
Right. I mean, I was just wondering, I mean, you must have seen a little bit of that or something.
No, I never, there were times when, after our intimacy with Barbara, I found it perhaps difficult to take on this, but I never felt jealous of Mara. I felt jealous of other people.
You felt difficult to what?
To understand.
Why she was special, you mean?
Yes, until I saw it and it was explained to me.
Uh-huh.
Because until then, we had been a little special group that Bob had singled out called Kimco.
That's right.
And we were told we were his heart.
Yeah. So how did she fit in?
It had a very special place
right.
there. And so it was a bit difficult to... But
resolve that.
I could understand... that each avatar has this special woman.
Right.
Probably every perfect master has a woman also by his side.
Mm-hmm.
No, I never felt jealous of Mara. Not really.
Or did you ever think, I wish I could be her role?
What?
Did
no.
You?
There was no guy there. I couldn't, so it would have been stupid.
Yeah.
No. That would have been ridiculous. You see, Barney has a very extraordinary role. When you think that she's the chairman now of the trust, and what is most extraordinary is it's women in this age. Let's go through it. There's Ivy Deuce.
Kitty, Elizabeth, you.
Well, there's Phyllis Frederick
right.
running a group.
That's
Kitty and Elizabeth, and before was Norina. But now there's Anna Rosa running the
That's
society,
right.
and there's Mehera and Marnie. And Marnie, in spite of the fact that the apostles mean so much to an avatar, Marnie takes on the role of chairman, a woman. has that important role. And this is what Baba said. This is the age of intuition we're coming into. Therefore, it represents the woman, the feminine side. And this is why I think women have this, especially in the West.
Yeah.
There isn't a single, or hasn't been, man in the West who played an important part. Well, that's to a certain extent, I suppose, Dr. Kenmore started a society at the time, but now it's run by Anna Rosa. I don't know who the next Murshid will be, but certainly Ivy Deuce has played a remarkable role in building up a fantastic organization.
Yep.
Oh, Baba said the men in the East were more spiritual on the whole, and the women in the West were more spiritual than the men. Well, that ain't.
Well, it's really, really great. Just exactly what I wanted. Because you were there firsthand, sort of.
Yes.
I mean, now all I see is sort of listening to Mara tell stories about it, but when you can actually see her there.
Yes. The only time that the avatar always has to be male. The avatar can never be a female. That's it. And very difficult for a woman even to be a perfect master. There are not many.
Yeah.
Baba Jan was one.
Yeah.
And I think that famous one,
Rabia.
Poet. What? Rabia. Rabia was a perfect master, I think. But on the whole, it's very difficult. Apparently, I don't know why.
Yeah.
You have to be in a male body to become a perfect master as a rule. But Baba Jan must have been an amazing. Of course, Ardy Jr. too. Have you seen Ardy Jr.?
Mm-hmm. I stayed there one day.
When?
When I first came.
Oh, before you went to Oceanic? I didn't realize it. How long were you there?
Just a day.
Oh, you were there a day, then you went to Oceanic. Oh, I see. Well, he's much better now.
Yeah.
You can tell his sister. I think he'd soon be walking about.
Yeah.
Don't you think so?
Yes, I think he even went out to the doctor and everything.
It's extraordinary. Didn't have a problem.
And I said, but there are men. He said,
no, come, no, out. It was the first time after that accident, Bob. And Bob was to be a new
amazing story. And I used to make her up sitting there with all the men playing and singing and telling the father stories and talking.
She probably knew all the stories.
But I remember a gave two months. Who was it came up and spoke to her? Was it Don or Harry Kenmore? No, Harry Kenmore was blind, it wouldn't matter. The only two men that Bobby introduced her to were Harry Kenmore, because he was blind, and Will Bass. And even then, she spoke as if they were far away. She, as if she was speaking in the third person.
She said hello to Roger, but he did.
Yes, it was very strange.
I remember, she saw everybody when we were in India, Iran. We saw everybody, but she was, it was impossible. She couldn't touch anybody.
Well, when did she move back
to anybody?
Yeah. But now she's different, of course. Now she talks directly.
Yes, also she talked absolutely naturally.
Yeah, quite naturally.
But
they
do
want
to touch her hand.
But what's curious is
it still like
she
that?
She kept saying, keep bobbing your heart, keep bobbing your heart.
Yes, yes. I got a letter from them just before I left.
Oh, yes?
Mm. When did she meet Will Backett?
Hmm?
Will Backett, when was it?
I think it was in 1950. Six, the men's gathering. 54. Yes.
He was taken to just...
Well, that's what I understood, but you better check up on that. This is what he said, that Baba introduced him to Mehra. Mm-hmm. But...
I remember Noreen when she came back to tell me the first time. She didn't want me to be shocked
She thought I'd be shot in any way. Mm-hmm. And she had a feminine element, she's supposed to be about the masculine element and all this and that. So I can imagine how excited I was when I saw a man. But first of all, I was taken by the beauty. The beauty. I just love to watch her.
I mean, those days when she had long, silky black hair, those that marvelous bones. It's typically Persian, see, that face. And those eyes just slanting up slightly.
Such purity that you saw, you saw really what you call purity.
She's still beautiful, but it's different
than it was.
Well, you know,
and she said that you were very beautiful. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we didn't have some bones.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got that thing on the back.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. It's a bit mad. The purity of her face.
Oh, absolutely incredible.
Mm-hmm. You know.
It's a real person.